Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is Conversations with Olivia Jade, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Oh, we're really jumping right into this.
I know. I was like, wait, we're going? Is ready?
Hi, how are you? Well, first, hi. Miss you.
I know. It's been, I mean, it's almost been a year since we started this, the Dancing with the Stars process.
Has it been almost a year? Yeah, it has.
Because I remember Labor Day, like right before Labor Day was like my last hurrah. I was like, this is the last party. This is the last moment. Like, it's time to hit it.
Yeah, you're actually so right. Because I remember coming back from like summer vacation, basically, and starting right away. That's insane. Well, I didn't even do an intro. We got thrown into this right away. I have Cody Rigsby on my podcast today. He is one of my fave people. We were on Dancing with the Stars together. And if you guys don't know who he is, I'm going to let him give his own introduction so you can really make it perfect. Take it away.
Oh, wow. Like, you know, when you like doing an intro of yourself is like, it's like so shouting at your resume, and it is a little narcissistic, but listen, I worked hard. So
boom.
Hi friends. I'm Cody Rigsby, former Dancing with the Stars contestant and a Peloton instructor for over 8 years now. And maybe you've seen some of my videos clipped on TikTok for a nice laugh, a little LOL here and there. And I'm excited to be here and reunited with the beautiful Olivia Jade.
Thanks. I'm so happy you're here. What have you been up to recently? Like, what's the last year that I haven't really seen you? What's it had in store?
A lot. You know, like, I left Dancing with the Stars and I took a little time for myself in the holidays, but then it was just like a lot of work being brand deals or stuff at Peloton. PR, stuff like that. I'm working on some stuff this summer that I can't necessarily talk about right now, but like,
oh, you know, I hate when people do that.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's but okay, like, it's,
you
good.
A bitch can't like hurt a contract or like up a contract that's coming up. I know. True. I hate being like that. I also hate when people are like, just wait, I have this coming on, or like, you guys can't damn handle it, what I'm about to do. I'm just like, okay, girl, we'll see it. But you know what? Honestly, this summer, I've been really just kind of focusing on myself. I think I came to a moment where I was like, all right, work is great. And I love working and I love building whatever I'm building here. But for a very long time, probably like 2 or 3 years, I've been so focused on work that I've kind of lost a little bit of myself.
Mm.
So I think for the past like 3 months, I've really been focused on healing and like, doing things that nourish me, even if that means like not chasing a dollar, if that makes right. sense.
Right. Okay. I want to come back to that because I think that's an important conversation. But just to kind of kick off the episode, I kind of want to hear about like where you're from, how you got started. I know that you were a background dancer before Peloton. Yep. And can you just explain a little bit about like how you even got into this space, how you started with Peloton, and like kind of if somebody was listening and they want to have a similar trajectory or like a similar career path, how somebody that's not in that position to do so could?
I mean, that's a great question. And I'll kind of get into my story a little bit. And I think the more, before I even tell the story, I think the moral of the story is a lot of success sometimes is just being at the right place at the right time, but you got to make sure that you're the right person that's going to be at the right place at the right time. So if you're not like prepared for an opportunity that's going to hit you in the face, you might not get that opportunity. So I think it's always good to be doing the work, even if you don't know what's next. Mm. So that's kind of the moral story or where I hit it. But you know, I was born in Los Angeles. I lived there till I was about 8. Me and my mom and like 3 cats and 2 dogs packed into a Chrysler and like moved across the country in the 90s. And we settled into Greensboro, North Carolina, where I grew up from 8 to 22. In like high school and college, I was very much like into musical theater, but I was like a really good dancer on my own. So a friend told me to go intern at Broadway Dance Center here in New York. So I did that the summer of my freshman year of college. And that's where I really fell in love with New York City. And I honestly, I got to express myself as a gay man. And I knew that I wanted to like really come to this city and be able to live the life that I wanted to. So through college, my focus was always to come to New York. So I moved to New York in 2009. I've been here 13 years. I can't believe it. Wow. And I started kind of just doing a bunch of odd end jobs. I worked in fashion. I worked at restaurants. I worked retail. I was just really doing anything to make a buck. And then I got into the commercial dance world for about 5 years, where I got to do some really cool stuff. I danced for Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, do SNL. Like I loved that. I loved that because it had so much passion, but I think what I was missing was purpose. And in all honesty, when you're a backup dancer, you're kind of doing things to elevate another person. You're doing things to make other people look great, and you're not really creating a foundation for yourself. So I became kind of unhappy and didn't really have purpose. And one summer I was like, all right, I'm going to like pump the brakes on the dance world. I'm going to manifest that something great is going to come. I don't know what it's going to be. But honestly, I'm just going to put my head down, do as many odd end jobs as I can to make a dollar and find financial stability. And honestly, like 6 months later, Peloton landed in my lap.
How?
Yeah, I was working at this club called The Box.
I know The Box.
I'm sure you do.
Please.
I'm sure you
do.
And it has a very like risque burlesque show, but I wasn't actually dancing in it. I was just working in front of the house, helping the bottle service girls at night. And the choreographer of that show knew I was a dancer, and he had a connection to Peloton. Mm. And so he was like, hey, this company, this like startup is looking for, people that are into fitness. And I got into fitness to book dance jobs because you got to look a certain way. And I was an entertainer, and that's what they were looking for. Right. So I sent my headshot and resume, and I got an email back and went in for an interview, and I got the job.
Wow.
And I was really lucky because it was a new company. They were figuring themselves out. I kind of had the ability to fake it till I make it. Mm. They were just like, here's this cute boy and he's fun and has a personality. So like, let's give him a shot. And I was really lucky that I started Peloton at kind of in the infancy because I got to really make a lot of mistakes. I got to figure myself out. I got to observe and watch some really fierce people like Robin Arzon, like Jess King, and kind of just absorb their fierceness and how they discovered themselves. And for a while, I feel like I was trying to be Robin, and right. I'm not Robin. Like I'm not an ultra marathoner. I'm not a badass bitch like she is. Like I'm not her. And so I think once I started to embrace who I was and let that shine in my classes, people started to resonate with that and right. connect with that. And I'm glad I had that period of time to like not know what I was doing, so that, when the pandemic hit and Peloton blew up, I was ready. I was ready for prime time, and I knew who I was and I knew what my classes were. And that's kind of where I was able to connect with people throughout the pandemic. And so that goes back to the moral of the story, like kind of two occasions where it's like the right place, the right time, right, but be the right person.
Right. So
that was
you...
a long-winded answer. Was that what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking
for. Great.
I loved it. It was perfect. So when you would say that, would you say that because of the pandemic, that's where you're... Like, I'm just so curious how somebody that's a Peloton instructor can just absolutely blow up on social media, then go on Dancing with the Stars. Like, how the hell did that happen? Like, how did you get such a following? Like, obviously, I know you and your personality is infectious, but how did so many strangers that get 45 minutes of your time on a bike or however long it is, like, how did that translate?
Yeah, I always like pinch myself. Like, I got so lucky. Like, I won the lottery when it comes to a job, a profession that keeps me rooted in purpose, allows me to help other people, allowed me to like really discover myself and my best self. You know, I think there's this stereotype of a fitness instructor, and they're always like super high energy and always super positive, and they have everything figured out and they have this perfect body. Mm. And that's sometimes not relatable. And mm-hmm. I would watch other instructors, not at Peloton, but just other instructors in the industry. And I'd kind of like cringe or be like, oh, you're being so kind of fake. And so I just treated every class like I was I was on a Zoom call or in a room full of like my besties. And like, we're shooting the shit, and I'm going to talk about, you know, messy stories in my life. I'm going to talk about nostalgic things about songs. I'm just going to like be an open book. Mm. And I think people really connect and relate to just someone who's, you know, pushing them, but also showing their messiness and yeah. showing who they are. I think when we try to be perfect, it's boring. Mm. When we show our messiness, our flaws, our, you know, I don't want to say stupidity, but like, we're all kind of yeah. stupid. So like, when I can make fun of myself, when I'm stupid, like people relate to that
yeah.
and people connect to that. And that's also like my purpose. Like, fitness is a scary space. If you're starting fitness, if you're starting something new, you can feel intimidated because you don't want to look dumb. And I purposely kind of get on the bike and act a fool and act dumb so people are not scared to try something new.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I actually was having a conversation with a friend recently just about how, like, just if you're in any sort of, I think, media space or you're like a public figure of any kind, how important it is to be relatable. And with these, like, I think recently on my podcast with the guests I've had on, I've tried to, like, maybe teach the listeners something, not me personally, but the person I'm interviewing. Would you say that you have like one thing? Because if someone were to ask me, like, what would you say, like, you're an expert in? I don't actually mean like expert literally, but I would say like the thing that I probably know most about and can talk most about confidently would be like makeup and skincare. Yeah. What would yours be?
That's interesting.
If you have one.
No, I think it's a little obscure. I think I think I'm an expert at loving myself and,
that's a good
allowing
one.
Myself to be who I am. And that means accepting who I am. I think for a long time in multiple stages of my life, I tried to change or omit parts of me. And that wasn't fully loving myself or honestly. So I think loving myself and doing it in such a radical public facing way is what I'm an expert at. And I hope to inspire people to love themselves radically and to accept themselves and to express themselves as radically as they can with no apologies. And that includes the flaws. That includes the stuff that we don't like about ourselves.
How did you get to a place of loving your flaws then? Because I think that's something, I mean, I struggle with that. I'm sure so many people listening struggle with that, of just like wholeheartedly. Because I think I can sit here and be like, yeah, I love myself. I'm proud of myself. Like, whatever. But there are so many times and moments in my day where I'm just sitting there like, just to be really real, like I'm just so hard on myself. If I'm filming, if I'm filming a YouTube video and I have, if I'm positioned a certain way, if I feel like, oh, that angle must look bad. I haven't even seen it yet. Just in my head, just constant, like, that's probably bad. It ruins my day. And then I'm like in a constant, like, I hate myself this day. Like, why did I even try? Like, how did you get to a point where you're just like, okay, even if it is a flaw or something that I'm not super like proud of, I still love it because it's me.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big process. I think also think about the world that we live in. Everything is super curated. Everything is positioned perfectly. We're constantly consuming social media or news or TV or film or magazines. And it's always this perfectly curated thing. So of course, in our head, we're constantly aware of these things and we're constantly judging ourselves. For me, I think what really started my journey was probably 6 years ago, going through a really hard breakup. And that feeling of having what they call like the rug pulled underneath you, where you literally fall on your face, you fall down. And it's not worth it to stand back up and be the same person that you were when you fell down.
Oh, I love that.
It's not, it's, you're not, there's things that happen in life, like breakups, like grief, like disappointment, like failure, that can really bring us down. And we have to be aware that those moments are teachable lessons, and those are moments to be grateful for, because that is the opportunity, that is the door opening to you becoming an evolved, a more evolved version of yourself, a new version of yourself. And so that moment for me was like laying the foundation for the next evolution of who Cody was. And I really leaned into like a meditation and mindfulness practice. So that allowed me to really observe my thoughts and just see them as thoughts, instead of letting those thoughts run wild, instead letting them pass and not getting so attached to them. And I know that's like a little obscure and a little bit like,
but that's the whole practice of meditation, right?
Yeah. And that was really powerful for me. And that kind of really started my journey of like self-love. And so then you kind of develop that skill of allowing the thoughts to pass, but then you start to be aware of who you are and the things that you do. And then you can't help but laugh at yourself. Mm. You can't help but laugh at the same repetitive thought or the same action that you're doing. And you're like, wait, why are you doing that? Like you said you want to stop that. So like you could get frustrated with it. You could get mad at it, or you can kind of laugh at it and treat yourself a little bit of kindness and love. And so I think it's just like building building that relationship with yourself and making time within your day that you are developing a relationship with yourself, which is really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard just in the practice, but also like it's so
really tough. Yeah. No, but that's great advice. I also feel like I just resonate a lot with what you say about like how we're in a world where we see such a curated perspective, and that can make it a little bit more challenging to be easy on yourself and forgive yourself for certain things, because you see everybody else what seems to be a perfect life. And I'm sure some people see us online and think like, wow, that like success, and that's great and whatever. Yeah. And it's like, also we can probably both just sit here and attest that we've gone through it in our heads as well.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of grace. Like grace is a thing that I'm really focused on right now, is you only know what you know at the moment. Mm. And so you got to give yourself the grace and forgiveness of the mistakes that you made,
right,
or that you make, and try to do better. But yeah, let's just laugh at like Instagram is not real. TikTok is not real. The news is not real. And then laugh at ourselves when we're trying to fit in that box. Like, we're not meant to fit in that box. So make a relationship with yourself. Let's laugh at the world and like also laugh at ourselves, so we're not taking it so seriously.
I kind of love that too, because it's like, if you are in a moment of sadness, if you can think to that and be like, okay, I still feel like but I'm going to laugh at it right now. I think you can genuinely convince your mind to think that like at a certain point, it's literally fake it till you make it, where it's like at a certain point, you will start to find the things that you maybe were hard on yourself, like a little funny. So I'm going to try that. Thank you so much.
And also, it's also like giving yourself space to be sad though. Like don't fight it. Like go be sad for a little bit. If you're going through a breakup, if you've lost your job, if you are having fights with your friends, like it's okay to be sad, like have those moments, but after a while you're going to heal from it. You're going to grow from it. And then once those start to pop up more, it's like, okay, like I'm going to laugh at myself for like dwelling on this a little bit too much.
Right. I love that. Okay. Let's transition into Dancing with the Stars, because obviously we were both on the same season 30. I honestly feel like we had a great cast. Like
it was a great cast.
Everyone
honestly
was so fun.
A really good cast. Yeah. And I loved it, because even though it was a competition, like I think we genuinely, like we never wanted anybody to go home.
Never.
We wanted everyone to do their best. And it was
a support group.
Yeah. And like, It was sad when anybody went home, and also like we were the only people that knew what was going on, and that was just, I look back and I'm like, how I did that? Like,
it's so crazy. I still think back to it and I'm like, I was dancing on national TV with zero dance experience. Who let me?
Wait, you had zero dance experience?
I never danced before.
Not even like a ballet class, like not no, even anything.
Nothing. Really? Maybe I took ballet when I was like 1 year old and I ended at 1.5. But like, no, not in any time I can remember in my life.
I am so gagged by that because I was like, I think this girl is lying. Like, I swear. She knows more dance than she is giving away because she's playing this.
I love dancing though. Like, I remember growing up, like around my family and stuff, and we'd play like music in the kitchen at night and I'd be dancing around the kitchen with my dad. But like, that's as far as my dance experience had gone.
That's amazing, man. But sometimes it is better to like for me, ballroom was hard because I danced in such different ways that it felt so foreign. So maybe being so fresh and having
no experience, knowledge
was almost better because you could just absorb it and like move into it.
Totally. That's kind of what I was talking to Amanda Klutz about when I had her on the podcast a while back. I was like, was it tough for you because you had a lot of dance experience? She was like, it was harder because like I had to learn like this, a completely new thing from something that I already kind of knew before.
Yeah. But she always looked flawless too. So
slayed, absolutely slayed. Everybody slayed. Everybody was so good. How did you get the offer? Who called you? Was it like did somebody reach out directly? Was it a DM? Did it go through your team? And did you say yes right away?
It went through my team, and it was something that we'd been talking about kind of all summer. Where like, hey, I've been kind of pitching, my agent was kind of like pitching me for it, but like Dance with Stars wasn't like completely on board, but like it was kind of always happening. And honestly, I don't even remember getting I didn't really get the final offer, like, okay, this is happening, until like mid August. So maybe 3 or 4 weeks before the show was actually happening. I think so. I think that's how it was, because I remember having conversations about it probably in June of last year and be like, okay, that's cool. And then by the time August got around, I was like, okay, I'm assuming that it's not happening. And then it happened. And there was kind of a few days where I was like, am I sure I want to do this? Because the thought of it really, really created a lot of anxiety in me. I was like, that's going to be so new and so challenging and so different. So I'm glad I like took a breath and told myself I could do it, but there was a lot of anxiety. And you know, once I committed to it, I was like, all right, here we go.
Do you feel like you had, I mean, obviously it's so different being in a ballroom dance competition than being on a bike, but do you feel like you had, because you were used to maybe performing, I guess you could say, like in some degree publicly with Peloton, that it made the nerves a little less intense, or just so different?
No, I was nervous
every time.
I was nervous every week. You know what I was really nervous is like camera blocking on Sunday. I was always so nervous. I feel like I put more pressure on that than even the show, because if I didn't have a good camera blocking, it made me really nervous for the show, because I was like, well, if I messed it up here, I'm not going to have enough time to get it right on Monday. So I was a nervous wreck the entire time. There was so much anxiety, but I worked through it and battled through it. But there was some times that it was just like, that whole show is...
It's something you can't explain.
No, it's like, I don't think people understand the amount of pressure that we're under. It's mental and emotional gymnastics, and you gotta really like fight through it. Cause it's like, it's the dance, it's your partner, it's the judges, it's the media, it's people online trolling you. Like, as much as you don't want to look at it, like, you look at it, and then like you let these thoughts get in your head. It is one of the toughest things I've ever done. And as grateful as I am for it, I was so happy when it was done. I was just like, okay, I'm so glad.
I was so ready.
I'm so glad it's over. Like, I was just like, thank God.
And you also had like a really crazy start, because if you guys watched it, you would remember this, but Cody had COVID in the really early stages of the show, and nobody knew what to do. Like, we were like, and he had to perform on Zoom. Was it Zoom?
Yeah. Essentially, it was Zoom. And so we did a jazz number from my house. I was doing it from my place in New York. Cheryl was doing it from her place in LA. And honestly, though, like, I feel like we slayed it. And
you
they didn't
did slay
us-
it. The hat.
The hat. Come on. We did the best with what we had. I know. So it was an interesting trial. And you know what? I remember getting that call, and I was just like, there was a moment where I was like, I might quit. I just might bow out, because like this seems so complicated.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I didn't.
And you made it to the finals. So I'm really glad you didn't tap out of it, because that was so fun to watch. And I feel like also what was really cool about the whole experience was like kind of seeing everybody grow into themselves. Like I just feel like I remember like between like I can say for myself, I feel like I grew into myself so much more. And then watching like JoJo and Suni and like all these people that just really like found themselves because of the show was like, I don't know, it was actually really impactful and cool to see.
Absolutely. That's good. When we had like our cat, like the cast was rooting for each other. And I think when we saw like great dances or a moment of growth, like we were like, yes, yes, go off.
It was a really loving environment.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So what have you been up to after the show? Now we can get into it. I want to hear about what you were saying in the beginning about your healing journey a little bit and just kind of focusing on you. And
Right. I think, you know, I got back in November, so it was like the holiday season after that. I was spending time with friends and family. And then January hit, and it was like really focused on Peloton, working with different brands, a little bit of travel. And I was just doing so much. Like all of my days were packed. My calendar was like, I would like look 2 months in advance. I was like, oh my God, every week is so much, so many things going on. And I love to be busy. But I think I hit a mark in probably like February where I felt really disconnected from myself. And I remember talking to my therapist and just being like, I'm not depressed, but I don't feel like myself. And there's moments of sadness. And I think when I analyzed it a little bit, you know, coming from Dancing with the Stars, you have like you have so many like adrenaline, emotional spikes and these highs that when that's removed, I don't think your body and your mind know what to do after that process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I relate.
And so I just felt like really off probably in February and March. And recently I kind of hit a space where I was like, I need to press pause or like pump the brakes on some of my work and really tapping into the power of no, of being like, no, I don't need to do this right now. Right. Or like, this isn't important to me. Or I there will be another opportunity. I don't need to take this one right now. And instead coming back to my roots of that self-love and taking care of myself, because even in the past 2 years, I was going to therapy, but I remember being kind of like super exhausted at points where I wasn't going into that space and maybe like really working through or talking through or figuring things out. And so I was showing up, but I was going through the motions. And my meditation practice had gotten less and less and less and less, or just wasn't a lot more infrequent. And so I kind of hit a mark in May where I was like, all right, I need to get back to myself, create a morning routine where I'm finding time every day to meditate, to journal, to take care of myself, do things that I love, like listen to music. Even like one thing right now, which I was talking to a friend, is like, getting dressed and looking cute and feeling cute, like even if I'm just going to get coffee or even if I'm just going for a walk, and it's literally for nobody else but me.
Yeah.
But that's something that brings me joy, is just like looking cute and having a fierce outfit. And that is like healing and self.
Yeah,
and
no, self-care totally.
To me. And so for me, that is what I've been focusing on this summer and enjoying time with friends. I'm going to Europe next week for 2 weeks. So that's
going
to be really good. And I'm glad to kind of take this season of taking a break, taking a breath, and then going into September, putting my head down and working on some new content at Peloton, working on some other projects. I know you want me to say what it is. I won't ask. I hate being that girl. But like, you know, there's always a season for everything. And right now that season is taking care of myself, enjoying life, breathing, laughing, dancing. And then I think going into the fall, back to school season, it's like, put your head down, do some work and work on new stuff that's exciting.
Yeah. What's a day in your life look like in Cody Rigsby's world?
It's so random, but like I wake up I've been trying to set my alarm for 7 a.m. I know it's not super early, but it's early.
I wake up,
I go have a glass of water, I have a cup of egg whites, I go meditate.
Do you eat really healthy?
No.
Okay. Cause I'm like, do all fitness instructors, are they on like some strict, amazing, clean diet?
I mean, listen, it's summer and I want to eat more clean so that I feel cute and all that sort of stuff, but I think
just balance.
Yeah, I guess it's balance. It's like I have my routine probably Monday through Friday or Saturday, and then I give myself a little bit of grace to like indulge, have fun. I also just don't drink that much. It's not my favorite thing, so I think drinking is one that really affects people's fitness more than they think. And so over the years I've kind of just like lessened my relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
Not that I'm sober or don't drink at all, but I just am really intentional about when and if I drink.
Right.
And then I usually go to the gym. I slay my workouts. I have meetings on Zoom or in person. I teach a class. It's crazy. Last week I was putting in like 12 hour days, like 7 to 7. It's just nonstop.
How many classes do you do in one day?
In one day, usually only one, maybe two. And usually if it's two, it's two shorter ones. But I'm teaching like 4 to 5 classes a week.
Wow.
Not great. Not too much. But, you know, it does take its toll on the body.
Yeah. Because you also have to be like on when you're doing it. You can't just be in the back of the class like, I'm working out. I'm doing it today. Like, you got to be the one that's hyping everybody else up in the class.
Yeah. And I think that's the most challenging part is like physically my body's, I've been doing it for 8 years now. So like my body's so conditioned to it, but it is really like turning on being a personality, like bringing the energy to a class, especially on those days when I don't want to do it. And there's plenty of those days where I'm like, I love my job, but I'm not in the mood to like be happy, smiley Cody right now, but figure it out, girl. Right. You know, figure it out.
Do you feel like from Dancing with the Stars, or maybe not even because of Dancing with the Stars, but just in general of like social media being a thing, and then you obviously having such a presence on social media because of Peloton and people loving you on there, like it's presented so many new opportunities in just like a different space for work?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm so grateful for the platform that Peloton has given me. You know, I've gotten to do Dancing with the Stars. I do speaking engagements, which I have a few this fall that I'm excited about. And that allows me to kind of share my story and in a different way and like in more in-depth way. You know, I've got to work with amazing brands. And honestly, the time that I invest outside of Peloton is actually like, I try to invest more outside of the fitness world. Like, I don't try to do more fitness things outside of Peloton. I try to find opportunities and skill sets that I have and opportunities that will be in alignment with that. So I've got to do some really cool stuff. And I'm like forever grateful for the platform and what it gives me. Cause like, I grew up so broke, like so poor. It was just me and my mom. And I never thought that I would have this level of success. Yeah. And so you look back and I'm just like grateful for it.
Yeah, it's really like life changing, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, I won't keep you because I know you're busy, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. And honestly, just being so real and so open, it's one of the things I love about you. I think that people are really going to resonate with this episode because of your realness, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this little reunion.
I know, me too. Hopefully I'll be in New York soon so I can come see you and say, hey, let's do dinner or something.
I might be in LA, I think like middle of October. So I might try to go to Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God. Please tell me if you go, I will come with you.
Yeah. We'll be each other's date. Let's go
on a date to Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
I would love that. Okay. Well, have the best day. You're the best. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye everyone.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.